Our scripture lesson today comes from Acts chapter 10, starting in the 23rd verse. From the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 23. And before we start, I got a little sidetracked here. We have an order of business to take care of. I almost forgot. We have to sing to Steve because his birthday is this week. And so while you're looking for Acts chapter 10 and Jackie's back here patting him on the head laughing, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Steve. Happy birthday to you. Amen. Even the top of his head's getting red. Acts chapter 10, verse 23. Then Peter invited the men into his house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in his presence. But Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said. I am only a man myself. Taking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, you are well aware that it is against the law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him, but God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me? Cornelius answered. 4 days ago, I was in my house praying. At this hour, at 3 p.m, suddenly a man in shining white clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit of power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen. By us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed the judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. An incredible, often overlooked story. May God add his blessings to this as we seek him closer. Let us pray. Father, we search you out. We search you out through Jesus Christ. We search out Jesus through the scripture. We search him out because we fall short. We fail. And yet by being in the Word, by listening to the words that you have given to be spoken here today, we are strengthened and made ready to go again. And we have to be constantly filled up to be able to pour out, Father. We thank you for these words and we ask that you would guide us through them and draw us a little closer to you, that we would have a greater understanding of the man who came to save us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of his children said, Amen. Now, there are things that make me mad. There are statements that might make me angry. Like, when you get to the buffet, well, we're all out of steak. That's going to upset me. And I've heard that saying. Well, we're all out of steak right now. But you have a grill as big as my house. How can you be out of steak? Or, I'm sorry, sir, I know you're next in line, but I'm about to close out my cash register. You're going to have to go and stand in that line, the one that stretches all the way back to Hagerstown. That one gets me a little wound up, and it's happened. There are other things that make me angry, but nothing like a statement that I've heard more than once now that I've become a preacher. It is a phrase that not only bothers me and angers me, but really burns me to my core. That statement is it okay for me to come to church? What? When I hear that statement, right away, the thing I want to know is, who told you that? Who in their right mind had the nerve to look at you and say, you can't come to church, or because of this, that, or the other, you're not welcome here? Show me that person. I want to meet that person carefully, because I would really like to just have a talk, I'm sorry, with that person. And you think it's funny. Oh, look at Paul, man. He's getting mad. Of course, I would never really want Paul to lose his temper with me. But I've heard that statement made. I recently got asked, can I come to your church? I'm sorry. Was there a sign out front that I didn't see? Was there something that said no one's welcome here? Explain this to me. And this person went on to tell me a little story where they felt that they had fell out of love of Christ. Say what? Well, I grew up churching it. I went to the church. I know church. But I've done a lot of things that have kept me away. And now I'm afraid and embarrassed to go back in. And when I have attended my own church, I haven't felt welcome. How would you handle that statement? What would go through your mind? Would you become proud and boastful? Would your chest puff out? Well, you need to come to Long Meadow Church of the Brethren. We're the greatest church that God ever put on the ground. Well, I tell people that too. But they don't pay any attention to me. They know that I'm an idiot. They know I'm like a church sign that I recently saw. And I wish we could do that kind of stuff, because I would put that up. Church today. Come to church. Blah, 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 blah. That made me laugh out loud. You don't need to say a whole bunch of stuff. Come to church. That's what you need to say. And I get in debates with people, well, I'm a Christian and I know God, and I don't think I have to go to church to know him. You're wrong. You couldn't be more wrong. As a matter of fact, you might even be kind of dumb. I'm sorry to say that, but you might be. You don't go to church to get saved. You don't go to church because everything you've done when you walk out of church is magically gone. You go to church because you failed. You go to church on Sunday morning because the world has beaten you simple all week long, because you are wore down, because you need to be in the Word. You need to be next to your brother and your sister sitting in the pew across the aisle, and you need to be recharged. You need to come to church. Amen. Amen. That's why you go. It don't make you a Christian. I know that. Can I come to your church? So I asked more. Well, I don't know. I don't know how it's handled. I said, well, let me handle it for you. Let me square you up right quick. I don't know how everything else in the world works. I know two doors in my life. That's them two leading into this building. 10 years ago, I was put here and told, lead them. Make sure you keep it on a path. Okay, so here's the path. You can walk through this church door if you just came from milking. You might have to sit in a pew by yourself. You can come up here and sit with me because I love that smell. You can come in that church door if you worked all night digging a trench. You can come in that church door if you got tattoos on your face. You can come through that church door anytime you want if you're looking for one thing. And that's to find Jesus Christ again and be forgiven. Now, I can tell you what you ain't going to do when you come through my church door. You're not going to come through here and disrupt things by trying to start trouble. Because I have said it once, I'll say it 1,000 times. I grew up moving cows. I know how to take you out of this building. Can I come to church? Is it okay for me to come listen to the worship? That should never be. I hear a question like that, I become so mad I can't see straight. And then it turns to sadness and embarrassment. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves if we call ourselves Christian and we try to tell someone you ain't welcome in this building. Do you know who this building belongs to? Nobody. It belongs to him. I know who built this building. I've been here long enough. I've heard the stories and proud to know it. The Petries, the Rowlands, they were the founding families. Thank you to them. Because they put this building here. They are long gone from this planet. But they did something that would carry on. I'm not going to be here forever. Sometimes I know when I'm preaching it sounds like I'm going to be. But the day is going to come when I'm going to go. And I want the doors to be open. None of this belongs to any of us. It all belongs to Him. And that's how we ought to entertain ourselves. We ought to be so thankful when we cross that threshold. When we pull in that parking lot, I made it. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you for letting me come to church again today. Because I'm telling you what, if there wasn't no Sunday, I wouldn't see Monday. I wouldn't be able to make it. I have done so much wrong this week. I have been so beat up this week. I can't wait to get to church. I can't wait to get around my brothers and sisters. I cannot wait for that. Because who's allowed in here? Everyone. Everyone. I may see that you live in sin because I did and do. I'm never going to sit there and say I tolerate certain behavior. I don't. I think it's wrong. But how do you get people in to a situation where that kind of behavior can be addressed and maybe help them get away from it? You bring them into church. You bring them in to meet the man who said, I know what you did. I know. Here, let me draw a line in this dirt. And you who is without sin, walk across it and start throwing stones. And he turned to a woman whom he knew and said, now look, don't sin anymore. Come on in here. We ought to remind ourselves who we are all the time. You don't have to be a holy roller. You don't have to walk around with a Bible balanced on your forehead. You don't have to walk around with pointed finger or a giant cross hanging from your chain. You just walk around letting people know. Charlie Pride sang one of the greatest country music songs ever put on phonograph or whatever it is nowadays. He said, kiss an angel good morning. Y'all know that song? You know who he made that song up about? His mama. I read an interview about that. I never knew that till recently. He made a song up about his mama because mama was always smiling. She was a good Christian lady who loved the Lord and wanted everybody to know. Got to kiss an angel good morning. Let the world know you think about her when you're gone. And that's how we should be. Why is Paul Leatherman always in a good mood? I just saw him smash his hand shut in the car door. And all he did was laugh at the car. And we all know that won't happen. So let me ask you a question. How far can you see? How far can you see? You got two eyes? How far can you see? I love going to get my eye test because of the things that still work correctly on me, my eyes do. Maybe they work a little too much because I can see that much square surface of a tractor in the bushes in the middle of the spring when all the bushes are grown up for a distance off the road of 2.5 miles, and I can identify it from that. My golly, look at that! So I know they work. And when we go to the eye doctor, I have to go for that thing. I always try to read the bottom line. It's starting to get a little fuzzy, but that's all right. But how far can you see? How far can you physically see? You know, they figured it out. With your eyes working mostly correctly, glasses or not, do you know that you can only see 3 miles? Because the earth starts to curve at 3 miles. But if you could flatten out the earth and stand up on a mountaintop and look straight out across the flat, they figure you could see for hundreds of miles. It has been recorded now through a series of studies, and I could go into the scientifics of it because I love science, but then I'd look out and I'd see a bunch of people going, and I'd have to go, wake up! It has been stated that the human eye can see a single candle burning in the dark for a distance of 30 miles. 30 miles. Looking straight on a flat plane. The light given off by a candle, and they do a whole big long configuration to it, which I was loving. 30 miles is how far a human can see. A candle flickering in the dark. I love that imagery, don't you? You want to know how far you can really see? Walk out at night, look up. You see stars. You see stars, some of them are 2.5 million light years away. And you're seeing the light. We take that for granted. But you know what the worst problem is, Christians? Most of you can see exactly how far. Most of you. Me included. You ready? I'm going to show you how far you can see. Here we go. Ready? Most Christians cannot see past the end of their cotton-picking nose because that's the part that they look down people at. And that drives me up a wall. And we look at this scripture today and we start to think about what was Peter saying. Do you know that scripture gets forgotten over time? We don't often circle around Acts 10. We always stay with the big stuff, right? Down in the Gospels. And then over in Philippians, where Paul's doing his thing and writing all those great letters and all the mind-bending stuff that goes on in Romans. And we forget about that there were still others out there working the work. And if you back up a little bit in Acts 10, it comes to one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Now, I know the real truth behind it, but I also know that God can mean what He wants to mean when He wants to mean it. And we know what happened. Peter had a vision. He went out on top of a rooftop and he fell into a trance, the Bible tells us. And what did he see? He saw the four corners of the earth being lifted up like a sheet and everything contained in them. And God said, all right, Peter, go ahead and eat. Peter said, what? Yeah, there's a lot of impure stuff there. I can't do that. And God said to him, if I made it, you eat it. If I said it, you live it. And when it came clear to Peter, what it meant was that the gospel of Jesus Christ was not for the Jews alone. It was for everybody. Enter Cornelius. Number one, Cornelius has one of the coolest names in the Bible. Don't you just like saying that name? Cornelius. Cornelius. Wasn't there some dog in a cartoon that was called Cornelius? I don't know. Maybe I should change my name. Cornelius Leatherman. That's got a nice ring to it, doesn't it? He is a man who just gives. You see, the Bible talks about Cornelius. He just gives to the poor. He's a Gentile. He doesn't understand all this stuff yet. The Jews don't come sit with the Gentiles. But there's old Cornelius. Say that name. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Cornelius.
That makes you smile when you say it, doesn't it? You kind of want to name something that, don't you? Cornelius. Hey, Corny, come here a minute. He goes about his business giving to the poor and giving freely and making his prayers known to God. God hears him, sends an angel, says, hey, send for my man Simon, who is Peter. We all know how I feel about Peter. My name's Paul, named after Paul in the Bible. My name should have been Peter, because Peter's what? Super passionate, got a big mouth and a big temper. That's me. Can't keep his foot out of his mouth on a regular basis. But he sends for Peter, and Peter shows up. He doesn't even ask. When the men approach him and say, hey, we're here to take you to Joppa. Let me ask you a question. Somebody knocks on your door and says, hey, Lewis, look, man. God sent us to pick you up right now, get in the truck. We're going to go down to Fallen Waters, and we want you to meet with somebody. You might have a few questions, mightn't you? Well, I don't think I'm getting in that truck with you all because I don't know you. And you look kind of funny and everything. And one of you smells kind of a little bit off. They came to him and said, hey, we're here to pick you up and take you to Joppa. And Peter said, all right, well, let's go. And not only did he say, let's go, he invited them in to spend the night. And they headed out. And one of the most telling points in all the Bible of what a Christian should be takes place right here. Listen. Verse 24. The following day he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said. I am only a man myself. Christians, you ought to have that verse written down somewhere in your house to remind you of who you are. That you are just simply on this earth to serve at the beck and call of our Savior. That's hard, ain't it? Say amen. You can. Sometimes that's hard to be that way, ain't it? Because sometimes the very people that need the most help are the ones that you want to throttle. You can tell me, we're all friends in here, we're all family. You sometimes want to grab that person and shake them a little bit. I told you 1,000. Peter says, just get up. I am not the Lord. I am nobody. I'm just a man like you. Stand up to me, please. And if we would learn that just a little bit more, do you know how full these congregations would start to be? You wouldn't need smoke and mirrors and big fancy bands playing. You just need to simply hear the word again, and the people would flock to it. And so we move on. Peter could see more than 30 miles. He could see the Lord and what he had in place. Makes him get up. Makes him stand up and talk to him. Most of the time, we have preached on the coming of the Magi. It's about that time. And it's a true story. And you start to wonder how the Magi, Gentiles from Persia and India and Arabia, who were astronomers, began to study a star 2 years while the event happened. We put the three wise men, the men, the Magi, that came in. We always put them in with the nativity. I've got a friend who, when they put their nativity together, it starts off before Christmas as just an empty manger, just out front of the building. I've watched this before.
And then along about sometime over Christmas night, on Christmas morning, suddenly there's Mary, and suddenly there's the baby Jesus, and the animals, and the shepherds, but no wise men yet. The wise men come a couple weeks later to represent they came after. But we put them in, and it's all right if you do. Don't mistake it, because they still have a valued meaning. We know that they showed up some 2 years after Jesus Christ was born. And they came to see him, and they followed a star that they could see forever away. And they began a long journey to it. And the Bible relates that story to us. They went to see Herod, and Herod said, "Oh, really? There's a king born that's going to take over the whole world? Go make your honor to him and tell me where he is so that I can go check him out." And the Magi went and saw him, and he gave him the gifts. Gold, frankincense, and what?
Myrrh.
And when they left, they knew better. And they headed a different way out of town. But the Magi could see forever what was coming. From Israel to Persia is many thousands of miles. And yet so overcome were they by the invitation, by the feeling, by the draw of a baby, knowing what he was to become, they went to him. We hold within our very selves that ability. We hold within our very selves the ability to draw people to Christ by just simply being ourselves in a new creation known as a child of Christ. So that we never have to hear those words. "Am I welcome at your church?" I have to warn people when they say, "Hey, I'm coming to church up here." I get a big kick out of you all. You don't know it. I have to warn people when they're coming for the first time. Be careful. "What do you mean?" I said, "This is a very warm church." "Well, I'll dress thinly." No. It's a very loving church. And these people like to hug. And they like to love on you. And they are so excited when they get here. It might scare you a little bit. Don't worry. And the most important thing is, when 20 people are done hugging you, you won't have to check your pockets to see what's missing. And I've had people tell me, as a matter of fact, several years ago, quite a number of years ago, I have a good friend who is a missionary in India, Chris Reiner. Chris doesn't like to be hugged. She's a handshake kind of gal. And you all lit her up like a Christmas tree. And she called me a couple days later and she goes, "I ain't never been into anything like that." She goes, "They hugged and hugged and hugged on me, and it was a whole lot for me to take, and I never felt so good in all my life." That's how we should be, brothers and sisters. And it's not that you're not. I'm not sitting here today saying, "Oh, you guys there at Long Meadow Church of the Brother, you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You're not doing your job. For shame, for shame, for shame." No, I'm telling you, keep it in your heart. Keep it in your mind. Keep it here. Keep reminding yourself over and over again that you are just you. That God saved you like he will save the next person that you come into contact with. Like he will let you be that light. And that there is somebody out there waiting to come into his word, desperately needing it, and you are the person that could bring them in. And you never know who's going to come through that door. Might be some hairy looking mountain creature with a long beard and long hair and a crazy man coming to preach. And it might be somebody whose heart is so broken by everything in their world that this is the moment that saves them. How far can you see? For as far as you can see, Jesus Christ can see even further. He can look into the very depths of you and know who you are beyond what you could ever imagine. As far as you think you could see, the love of God extends. The love of Jesus Christ extends further than that. Cornelius saw it. Peter saw it. He said to him when he got there, "This is against the law.
This is illegal for me to be here. And yet, God told me, that law is nothing to me. My son and my love for my people go beyond that. You go and you sit down with them. And you talk to them. Then Peter said, can anyone keep these people from being baptized? No. Brothers and sisters, I pray we're not that person. That we keep it in our hearts continually. That somebody out there is waiting, wanting, desiring. And if they ever come to you with those words, here, I'll make it easy for you. You ready? You don't have to be a great orator. You don't have to know how to say a lot of stuff. Here's the phrase that you can use. Somebody's going to come to you, and they're going to come up to you, and they're going to go, Elizabeth, can I come to your church? I feel unwelcome at church. And your answer is going to be, yes, you can, and I have to introduce you to our pastor. He'll straighten you out real quick. Don't be too afraid of him. But seriously, I beg you all as we start into the new year, be alert, be aware, be ready. Because like Peter was from God, you never know when you're going to get tapped on the shoulder and say, hey, there's somebody that needs it. I need you to reach out to them and get them home to me. Can anyone outsee what God sees? No. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, let's join our hearts. Father, we thank you. We ask that within all of this, Father, you lift us up to be prepared, to be ready to go to work. Yes, we can bask in the glory. Yes, we can constantly look at a cross and remind ourselves of what Jesus did for us, but he did it for everyone. And how much more glory can there be than to make sure that somebody knows of that love? I can't think of anything greater. Father, I would ask that if there is a need within our community, within the lives that we know, within the people that we touch, that they would be lifted up and that they would know you. And if it is our job to bring somebody, point them out. Make them come. Bring them in front of us and then give us the words to speak. This is your house. This is your church. These are your words. This is your message. We just would like to get people in front of it. Bless us as we go forth into that, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The last hymn's coming up. If you need the prayer bench, it's open. If you need me, I'm here. If you need that strengthening as we sing the last hymn, may God richly bless you.